Today I want to share with you some ideas relating to Parshas Bereishis. Not Jewish, more inyani halacha or more philosophical ideas. It's called from a sefer called Sifunos HaParsha. This is I'm a fan of the Mechaber El Yochum Sifunos HaParsha. The name of the sefer is El Yochum Divurkas. Divurkas, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name. He is the Mechaber of... Yes. He is the mechaber of this farm called the Shvilei HaMinhag. A lot of the things that I told you that relate to Minhagim came from his farm. He has another, in this sefer, what he does is he takes, it's not Minhagim, he goes through the parsha and he takes different topics. Divurkas, Dalid, Beis, Vav, Resh, Kuf, Samach. Divurkas, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. It's hot off the press. It just was published. It's he has published quite a number of svarim, mainly on Minhagim, and he put out a volume similar to this, a little bit different on the parsha halacha. Each parsha he selects a topic and he develops it. He goes through the halachic inyanim relating to that inyan. Here he does something very similar. It's pretty much patterned after. It's called Mishvili HaParsha. That's the name of the other halachic sefer, Mishvili HaParsha. And this is called Sifunos HaParsha. It's the same cover, but it's hot off the press. And it's a very, very impressive sefer. It's very dense. Whole Chumash. Yeah. It's a very, very, very choshev sefer. So I want to share with you a few things relating to Parshas Bereishis. I'm well aware that we're not in Parshas Bereishis, we're in Parshas Noach, but this year Parshas Bereishis was cheated. You didn't have time to learn to be Mavis Sedra, Shlami Vichatargum, Parshas Bereishis. You go from Simchas Torah right into Bereishis, especially for those Bali Kriya. Oy, oy. When does a Valkyrie have a chance to prepare? You have to prepare way in advance. Parshas Bereishis is not an easy parsha. It's not for the faint of heart. For people that are not professionals, not everyone is zeichet to be a Rabbi Mayevsky. But those that are not Rabbi Mayevsky is not the professionals. They're just the amateurs. You have to muchzuch. We got a muchzuch, and it's not easy. Okay, so I want to just discuss with you something. I saw here the first topic of this sefer is a masterpiece. The issue he deals with, and I never saw such a collection of sources, Mefalpel, and such the way he does in this topic. It's a popular topic. The question is we know that there is a creation called Or. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or. In the beginning of creation, we are taught, Bereishis Borlokim Eis Hashem Eis Haaretz V'Haaretz Hoysa Sohu V'Vohu V'Choshech Al Pnei Sahom. There was darkness over the earth, over the world. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or. So there's no question that Or, light, it's a loose translation for the word Or, is certainly a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is Choshech a creation, or is Choshech simply the absence of Or? Now, the world begins with the story, the Choshech al Pnei HaTohoy, which would seem to indicate that Choshech is, again, it's hard for us to, everything by Israel is a creation. I mean, everything comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. But how do we relate to Choshech relative to Or? Is it that before Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, even from our understanding of Chamisha Chumshe Torah, from Maisa Bereishis, Hashem first created Choshech, it's a creation, and then Hashem created or no? The way we are to view Maisa Bereishis is the starting point is or is nothing more than an absence. Choshech is nothing more than an absence of or. So let's be mefalpel in this. You know, he presents here a very large collection of rishonim, achronim that bring rayos from all different parts of Chazal, one way or the other. First, let's start with Nusach HaTzvila. Every single day we daven, but we make a bracha Yoitzer Or. Hashem is Yoitzer. He forms Or. Uvorei Choshech. I mean, what more do you possibly want than that? We say the Nusach HaTzvila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creates darkness. You see, darkness is a Bria. Bria. In fact, the word Boirei is even the more powerful world, more powerful word. Nothing. We don't know what nothing is. It's not. The Gemara tells us not to try to think what was before creation. The world was created with a base. A base goes this way. Don't look back. Correct.
And prior to creating darkness, what existed?
Nothing. We don't know what that means. We don't know what that means. That's not for us to understand. It's beyond our comprehension. But we still have an obligation. We come into the picture with Ma'aseh Bereishis. When we look at Ma'aseh Bereishis, everyone has to agree. There's no question. Everyone has to agree that darkness is a creation. Because before creation, there was nothing. We don't relate to that part of that moment. But when we look at Chazal, when we look at Ma'aseh Bereishis, and we look at what we look out into the sky and it's dark, is that a Berea, or are we to view this as an absence of R? And there'll be an afkamina. So let's see in a moment. But the first thing we can very simply say, the first ride that's presented to us by many of the Mefarshim is that look at the Nusach HaTzvila, the Anshei Knes Agdola formulated a Nusach, a text, where we say every single day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzer, Hashem forms R, and He creates darkness. That seems to indicate that the Anshei Knes Agdola required us to believe, required us to understand that darkness is indeed a creation. Okay, that's one simple interpretation. The Kolboy, on the other hand, says, the Kolboy was a Rishon, and the Kolboy says that one of his popular commentaries is a perish on the Nusach HaTzvila. And shockingly, he says that when it says the Nusach HaTzvila, Uborei Choshech, we should not translate it literally. It's shocking that Hashem creates darkness. It should be interpreted that it's an absence of light.
What's dark?
Borei Choshech means by taking away the or, by causing the sun to set, and having the ball of the sun go further beneath the horizon, it appears that the darkness appears, and darkness is nothing more than an absence of light. So he makes it very clear, the Kolbo, that as far as we are concerned, we should not look at darkness as a bria, but we should look at darkness as a absence of light. Now, I'll give you an afkamina in a few moments, but let me just first bring you a very interesting another raya or two, and then we'll discuss a halachic afkamina. The Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. Now everyone is learning Masechta Pesachim, and the Masechta Pesachim, toward the end of the Masechta, begin the Masechta, beginning the Masechta, begins with the Bedikas Chametz. When do we burn the Chametz? Or La'arba Asar. The Or of the 14th. What exactly does that mean, the Or? There's no such thing as the Or. It's we burn the Chametz at night. So what is the word Or? So the Rambam makes it very clear in the Perish HaMishnayis, that the reason why the Mishnah began with Or is because since you're starting off a new Masechta, it's not proper to begin with darkness. And the Rambam goes further. It's not just darkness. The Rambam says that darkness is nothing. It's nothing more than the absence of light. And therefore, it would be such a letdown for a Masechta to begin. One thing, if darkness was a Berea, was a creation, was an actual Dover Sheyesh by Mamish, it's not so bad. So the Masechta begins with a concept called darkness, and during this time of darkness, we're boydek, we inspect, we search for Chametz. But darkness is not a Berea. That is explicit. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. How can you begin a Masechta with a concept, with a term of something that's less than nothing? If it's something, nothing is a something, it's not so bad. It's a zilzul for the Kedusha of Torah to begin with something which is an absence of something. And therefore, that's why Chazal had to bend backwards and and borrow the word or, which is the complete opposite. Or means light. Or doesn't mean darkness. Or means light. And it's like Lashon Sage Nohar. And you have Chazal many times when a person is blind. How you call a person that's blind? He has a lot of light. Literally, Lashon Sage Nohar. So Chazal invented a term which refers to darkness, but it's a term which is a beautiful term. Exactly. But in the Rambam's explanation of why Chazal chose this very strange term, or larba also, which really means just the opposite, the Rambam very clearly tells us that darkness is not a beria. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. Okay, so we have a right from the Rambam. This is the Rambam. The Rambam. What? Light? No, light is an absence of darkness. No one says that. Because the Pasuk says, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. No one can deny that Or is a creation. No one can say that, because Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. It says in the Pasuk. There shall be Or. Or is a creation. Or is something new. The question is, Choshech doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Choshech. It just presented the Choshech al Pnei Sahom. Does that require us to believe, to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created Choshech? Or as far as our understanding is, no, we should look at Choshech as nothing less than an absence of light.
So according to the second theory, Choshech is pre-Brias Olam.
According to the second interpretation, Choshech is pre-Brias Olam, exactly, and it's not for us to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu definitely created Choshech. But when we come into the picture, Ma'isa Bereishis, we look at Choshech as an absence of Or. We don't give Choshech the same chashivos, significance as a bria, as we do Or. Or is a bria. Choshech is not a bria. Choshech is nothing more than the absence of Or. In reality, is Choshech a bria? Absolutely. But that's not our concern, because that came before my liberations. The first approach is no. Bereishis, the Choshech al Pnei Sahom, the way we are to interpret the words the Choshech al Pnei Sahom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Choshech. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went further, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. Okay, let me right away give you a nafka mina. This is really what made a very powerful impression on me. We all know we live in a society where there are different opinions of when Shabbos is over, right? People are on a rush, they want to get out of town, so they go to an early minyan, right? They go to Garfinkel, they have an early Maariv, and you can... Exactly. They're in there, they come, Shabbos, and what do Hasidim do? They wait until much later than the Rabbeinu Tam, 72 minutes, 90 minutes, 92 minutes, you wait until the 8th of the day, whatever the case is. L'choira, the Litvaks are right. That it's dark. Rav Moshe says, in America, 50 minutes after sunset, it's as dark as it's going to get, as far as we're concerned. And therefore, the day is over. It's already the next day, it's already nighttime, it's like a chavim, and you're ready into a new day. Why then do the Hasidim continue to hold on to Rabbeinu Tam and wait another 22 minutes? That's a very long time. It's not getting any darker during that period of time. So the answer is,
like if you have a rib steak,
yes,
and you want to enjoy the rib steak, you eat it slowly, hold on to it. So the same thing.
No, that's
Shabbos,
not the reason. That's not halacha. Halacha, that's a chotos for Shabbos. That's a very nice thing. You want to say 72 minutes and then chotos for Shabbos. You want to follow Rabbeinu Tam, a strict opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. It's not chotos for Shabbos. It's Shabbos is not over until 72 minutes. Halachically, if a person does malacha 71 minutes after sunset, it's chil Shabbos. If you strictly take hold of the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos is not over until 72 minutes. 71 minutes, you do malacha, you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not called Chulam Yazara. Why should that be? It's already as dark as it's going to get. So you want to go tell me that astronomically, according to scientists, different madrigas when the sun goes down, Torah is defined with fi Re'iyasenayim, according to what your eyes see. The human eye does not detect any noticeable difference in darkness once you get past 50 minutes. Probably before that, once you get past 40, 45 minutes already, whatever, you're not going to have any noticeable difference in those darkness. So why then do people wait 72 minutes? So here's what he explains, according to some opinions. It's a fascinating idea. This nafgamina of how long you wait until Shabbos is over is nafgamina if you hold Choshech is a beria, or Choshech is just the absence of R. If you hold that Choshech is the absence of R, once already you get to 41 minutes, you get to 50 minutes, R is gone. R is gone. You've now, the R has left us. The R has left us. We're now in a matzav of Choshech. We're now in the matzav of darkness. You don't have to wait anymore. It's already the next day. But if you are of the opinion that Choshech is a Beriah, it is a creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this thing called darkness, that Beriah does not arrive. It's not a matter that R has gone away and it's dark. It's not, darkness has not arrived until a given period of time. You don't look at 72 minutes that, oh, we got to get rid of the sun. The sun is going more and more and more and more. That's wrong, because once the sun has left us already 45 minutes, 50 minutes, it's it. It's already dark. You were looking at it the wrong way. Darkness is coming. We're only using the sun because we have no other way to reference in the world that we live in when there's a sun and there's nothing tangible called darkness. And darkness, from our perspective, is nothing more than the absence of light. The only way we can gauge night is by using a reference point of the sun setting. But if darkness is a Beriah, it's a very delicate Beriah, it's very hard to put your finger on it because it's not, there's no sun, we have to wait for darkness to arrive. Hashem is Borei Choshech. Just like Hashem creates the sun, day, Hashem creates this thing called darkness. Darkness does not arrive until 72 minutes.
So darkness pushes away light.
Well, it's hard to define it because the way we perceive it, we don't perceive it like that.
Darkness comes in.
It's more of an emunah. It's more of an abstract, spiritual relationship to this thing called Choshech. Hashem created Or, and Hashem created Choshech. Hashem refers to the creation of Or with the word Yehi Or. Hashem referred to the creation of darkness, V'Choshech Al Penei Sahom, that indirectly teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our Maaseh Bereishis, that we can relate to, Hashem created darkness. So now when we come to a Tekufa in our day of Choshech, we have to wait for it to arrive. Waiting for it to arrive has nothing to do with how dark it is outside, or with the absence of light. The light already is gone. But the darkness, the Zman of Choshech, has not yet come until the Halacha tells us that Choshech is over here. So that's why you wait 72 minutes.
What's in between? If you take Rav Moshe, so, says 50 minutes, and then you wait another 22. That 22 minute period.
Yes.
And what is it, twilight? Not Choshech, not going there?
So you have something called Bein HaShemashos. So you're getting involved in many different opinions. There's different types of Bein HaShemashos. There's a double Tekuva Bein HaShemashos. It's very complicated. I'm just throwing out abstract ideas. You're making a very good point.
The question is, what's in between?
So what's... I don't know what's in between. There is no in between. If you're following the opinion that darkness, if you look at darkness nothing less than an absence of light, once the light has gone away, it's gone. We don't know exactly, there's a period called Bein HaShemashos, because there's a certain period of time we don't know if enough light has left us that we can already be considered in the period called darkness. Maybe yes, maybe not. But it's a whole new way to look at night. You're not looking at night as the absence of darkness. You're looking at night as a new Beriah, a new creation, and that new creation has to arrive, and its arrival is not dependent on the absence of light. So just because after 50 minutes it's dark as it's going to be, it does not mean that this new Beriah has yet arrived. Halacha has told us that night arrives when 72 minutes pass, based upon our definition, since the time the sun has set. Nothing to do with how much light there is out there in the sky. It has simply to do with a tkufa during the day of nighttime, which arrives on, stands on its own.
So you say or lasts from when till night arrives? You know, that's like my shift and not the day shift.
The details are very complex, and I don't know the answers to all the details. Yeah. There's a tkufa in the day called day. There's a tkufa called night. Day, according to sun, ends with sunset. The sun has set. The day is over. Has the night arrived? Well, it depends. What is called night? If you're going to tell me night is defined by the absence of R, well, as long as there is R out there in the sky, even though the sun has set, you can't tell me that night has arrived. When all of the rays of R are gone, then we can say that we're now in a period where R is absent, so that's called night. But if you don't look at night, choshech, in terms of an absence of R, but you look at choshech as something that stands on its own, it's its own bria, we don't look at it relative to day. It stands on its own. Its zmanim are dependent on nighttime is arriving. When will it arrive? It arrives 72 minutes after the ball of the sun sets, irrelevant of how many rays there are in the sky. That's a whole new way of looking. Now, there's a proof to this. What's the proof to this? The Chazal talked about this idea, is that candlelight is much more powerful at night than day. So you see that there's something unique about choshech. If you light a candle during the day, even when on a cloudy day, and you have a candle, and you go into the corners of your room, you go into your home, it's not going to provide you the or shaga, the or haner, will not provide you with the same degree of light during the daytime as it does during darkness. So what do you see from this? This you have to talk to a scientist to explain this to you, is that you see that darkness, there is a yesh, there is something about darkness which enhances the or haner. There is the or of the sun, and there is choshech. The or of the sun does not enhance the or haner, but the mitzias of choshech does enhance the or haner. That seems to indicate that there is some type of bria. There is some type of yesh, mamoshos, in choshech. Because if choshech was nothing more than just the absence of light, so why should there be a mitzias, a reality in this world where when it's dark, you can have more benefit from the orhaner than the benefit you derive from the orhaner during daylight hours? There's something to it. There has to be something to it. This is more than just the light that goes out. So this is one idea. And then let's just draw some other rayas to this idea. There's a Ramban. The Ramban brings a raya. The Ramban writes very strongly that darkness, a very strong raya from the Ramban, is nothing more than the absence of light. Where do we learn this from? The Mak of Choshech. Because the Ramban makes it very clear, his words are very clear, that what was called V'yomesh Choshech. They felt darkness. If the Egyptians would light a nair, the Nair would go out. They could not move in this Choshech. They were trapped. So the Ramban says, what's the difference between the Choshech of the Makkah of Choshech and the Makkah of Choshech that we experience every single day? And the Ramban says, the Choshech that we experience every single day is nothing more than the absence of R. But the Makkah of Choshech was a Beria of Choshech. So the Ramban, indirectly, in this explaining the mitzias, the essence of what is, the essence of choshech, indirectly teaches us that the regular choshech that we experience every single day is nothing more than the absence of light. Okay, that's the Ramban. Now, on the other side of the coin, we have Rashi. Rashi makes it very clear that choshech is a bria. And I'll read the words of Rashi when it says this in Parash Bereish, V'yar lukim esor ki tov, V'yavdil lukim Hashem separated bein ha'or v'en ha'choshech. That's a very difficult pasuk. Hashem was mavdil between or and choshech. So Rashi writes, because of Rashi, let me read the words of Rashi. L'fi pshutoi kach pirusha ro'u ki toi ve'ein no loy. It's not proper lo to la choshech sheyiyu mishtamshim be'arvuvia v'kovar l'zeh t'chuma b'yoyim u'l'zeh t'chum b'layla. And okay, that's what those are the words of Rashi. So the Briskerov writes on this Rashi. It's clear from Rashi that Rashi holds that Choshech is a Beria. Because you only can use this terminology that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavdil between Or and Choshech, the two cannot be Mishtamish B'Revuvia, is if you view Choshech to be a Beria on its own. If you view Choshech to be nothing more than the absence of light, that's not called a mixture. That's not Arvuvia. There's no need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go through the effort of a Yavdel. If Or is nothing, choshech is nothing more the absence of light, you don't need to make any havdalah. It's just take away if you separate, you remove the R, automatically you have choshech. It's not shaykh to use the terminology havdalah. The two are being mishtamshim be'ervuvia. The fact that we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes use of this concept of mishtamshim be'ervuvia, we need to make an havdalah, indicates that the two are completely separate things. There's a bria called R, and there's a bria called choshech. Okay, let's bring another raya to this idea from another briskerov. Okay, this comes from the Haggadah on Pesach. You tell me where this is. It's one of the piyutim at the end. Korav yoim asher hu lo yom v'lo loyla. Ram me Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Ram hoida ki l'cho hayoim af l'cho haloyla. So you see from the piyut that a day will come when it's not lo yoim v'lo loyla. So that seems to indicate that there's such a mitzias called a yom that's not day and not night, because if you have a day that's not day, it's kula laila. It's not so. There's a bria called yom and a bria called laila. Okay, one other quick raya we have from the Bach. This is a very interesting raya, the last raya from the Bach. The more raya is we say every single day asher yotzar. Asher yotzar es hodah mechochma uvarovo Nikovim, nikovim, chalulim, chalulim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within man cavities. What is a cavity? A cavity is an open space. Is it shaykh to say about an opening, a bria? Hashem created within man openings. An opening is the absence of matter. It's not a creation. Yet we see that from the nusach of the Asher Yotzar that even on things that are empty, the openings, which is an absence of matter, we use the terminology uvarovo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So let's make an analogy. Just like an absence of space is called the bria, an absence of light is also called the bria. And this is an idea, you see the term, I guess we can argue all the way around that you see that an absence is not a creation, but we do use a terminology called a bar. Right, so that's an idea. Let me tell you one of the quick ideas on the parasha from the Sefer. In this week's parasha, we learn about Shiduchim, or more specifically about the role of the Shadchan. Who was the first Shadchan in the Torah? Hashem. Adam and Chava had a Shadchan. How do we know it was a Shadchan? Because the Pasuk says, Vayivi'eho el ha'adam. It says in the Pasuk, does not say in the Pasuk that Adam went and he found her.
Yeah.
Adam went out, took her out to a restaurant, and he found her. It says that she was brought. Who brought her? Vayivi'eho. Who was alive? Who was available at that time? Who? The snake? Doesn't say the snake. Vayivi'eho. Hashem created Chava, and Hashem brought Chava to Adam Harishon. There's a concept called a sirser, a person in the middle that matches a boy with a girl. Now there are svarim, whole svarim written on the sugya of the role of the Shadchan. Everyone knows this, a very well known joke that Shadchan stands for Sheker Doiver Kesef Noitel. The Shadchan, he speaks lies and he takes money. How did Moshe Duchim come about? Through lies. It's very true. Sheker Dover Shad Chon. Shin stands for Sheker. Dalit is Dover. He speaks lies. And then Kesef Notel, he presents you with a bill. That's a joke. Sheker Dover Kesef Notel. The first Shad Chon was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham married off his son Yitzchak to a Shadchan Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is also a Shidduch. Who is the Shidduch? The Shadchan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. He was also a Shadchan. Moshe, Eliezer, and Hashem have one thing in common. They were Shadchanim. Okay, now, this is very interesting. The Maril, where did the Maril derive? Maril was from the early Rishonim. He is the makar for many of our minhagim. Many minhagim come from the Maril. The Maril, how did he support himself? Was he a tailor? Was he a butcher? Was he an architect? Was he an accountant? The Maril was the gedolei hador. He supported himself from shatchanus. He was a shatchan. This is where he supported himself. The Maral, from which money did he purchase the Dalid meaning? This is a fascinating thing. The only mitzvah in the Torah where the Torah explicitly says it must come from your own money is Dalid meaning. Even though we have halach when it comes to Dalid, the matzah, those are drushes. But the only place where the Torah explicitly says, ulekachtem lochem, pre Eitz Hadar, it shall come from your assets, from your possessions. So the Maral appear to have various streams of income, source of income. Which account did he use to pay for his Dalid Minim? The money he received for serving as a Shatchan. And this is brought down by many of the Mefarshim that it is the best money you will ever earn. It is called Kesef Kosher. Because the Shatchan is the ultimate poel. He's a worker. He does a job. He provides a service. He matches together a man with a woman who otherwise would not have been able to know of each other. And that produces the ultimate peros in this world, the ultimate benefit. Children. Marriage. Shalom bayis. Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem, shechina b'neihem. So many of the Gedolei Hadar have in many different ways expressed the same idea that the best money you can possibly earn in this world, called Kesef Kosher, is money you earn through Shatranis. You are a poel. You are a poel neman. You are the ones that brought about this tremendous benefit for this world. Lashevis Yetzara, to bring Anach HaShriach for the parents, Anach HaShriach for the Chosan Kala, Anach HaShriach for Kodesh Baruch Hu, to bring in this world children. That money is rightfully yours. You're a poel. You deserve that money. That's Kesef Kosher. The Maral would use that money to be Mekayim, the only mitzvah the Torah demands that you use your own money. Ulekachtem Lochem Bayem Rishon Pre-Eitz Hadar. The Chofetz Chaim purchased in his lifetime his own tachrichim, the own garments that he will be buried with. And which, from what money did he use? Shatchanis. That's what it says. The money that he received for Shatchanis is what he used for to purchase his... Tachrichim. Tachrichim. Now this is an interesting halachic inyan. Who has the obligation to pay the shatchanis? The parents or the chosan kala? It's a big machlekes hapoiskim. Let's say the parents don't pay the shatchanis. Do the children have the obligation? Who is the shatchan really working for? Is he working for the parents? Who is he providing hana? Because the one that has an obligation to marry off the children are the parents primarily. That's what the obligation starts with. It says in the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin, the father has an obligation to marry off his children. So when the shatchan comes along and marries off, provides the shirach, the one that he's really working for is the parents, not the children. On the other hand, the one that derives the ultimate benefit are the children. They're the ones who get married. So this indeed is a big machlokes hapoiskim. If the shatchan is not paid and he wants to go to a din Torah, who is he tovea in a din Torah? Is he tovea the parents or is he tovea the chosan kala for the shatchanis? Do you have to give shatchanis to a relative? Some ikar hadin, you do not. However, the minig olam is to give shatchanis to the relative. It's brought down all over many stories that it is. For another question, the shatchanis, when does it have to be? What?
Is there a going fee, I heard?
There is actually. I don't know the details. There is. We once spoke about this. I don't remember the details we spoke about. Okay, but there is another issue. When is there a chiyuv to pay the shatchanis? Let's say there is a long engagement. Okay, person has to pay his debts. There's an agreement. They'll pay him $5,000, $1,000, $500, whatever it is. And the person needs the money, and they tell him, but you know, they're not getting married for 6 months. He has to finish up his master's. She has to settle down and work. or whatever, they're not getting married, can you be tovei? When, at what point is it proper, al pi halacha, to be tovei the shatchanis? So the halacha is, after they get engaged, it's not a din, right, tanoim. Once the tanoim by the engagement, it's not a din to adol. So it's not necessarily tanoim. We don't do tanoim, but it's the engagement. Once there is an agreement to get engaged, to get married, there's an engagement, that is already when there's a trigger for the peer parents or the chasan kala to pay the shatchanis. It does not depend on the wedding.
It
doesn't matter. Once they agree to get it, it appears that one.
The secular engagement, you know. I'm not talking about
it appears tonight. Once there is an agreement to get married, there's already an obligation to pay the shatchanis, even if they break up before the wedding. That's what appears. No refunds. Once an engagement, there's an agreement. There's an official engagement that is a trigger to pay the shatchanis. There are many stories.
No.
Both equal 50-50. 50-50. There are many spooky stories. We're not into schoolists, we're not into any Kabbalah, but it's cited in many sources that you don't play around with shatchanis, and it's a school of a zera shel kayama, children. If the shatchanis is not paid, that can hold back, whatever this means spiritually, that there can be a delay in when the children will come from this union. Now, I saw an interesting story. There were different stories, different Gedolei Hadar. They went to different rabbis, even the Chazon Ish, and they didn't have children. They asked Mibracha, and the Chazon Ish asked them, did you pay the shatchanis? And they said, no, we did not. Pay the shatchanis. There are many, many stories like this with Rabbonim, with rabbis, all walks of life, that if you don't pay the shatchanis, or you don't pay the full amount of shatchanis, or you don't pay the relative shatchanis. Many people, they get away with it. They say, you know what, I'm not going to pay the relative. It's a relative. A relative, you don't have to pay, even though it's takashu nekad, you don't pay the relative, but it's not the right thing to deny a relative, a koro of shatchanis. Anyone that was involved in English, there are people that are very makar on this. There are many times there are shidduchim that take place that there are many people that are involved in making the shidduch. And everyone thinks, oh, they're the ones that clinched it. It was their lie, their little white lie that made the shidduch. So everyone that was involved in this scandal should get their due. And it's brought out, I think the Gros says, it's not the Gros, someone else, that where do you find Gezel? The most common place where people are denied what they rightfully do with this real Gezel is Shatchanis. A Shatchan is a real bona fide poel. He is a worker. And he is entitled to his payment. And it's extremely common for people to be murahed. What did he already do? They already knew each other. They saw each other. It's not so. A Shatchan was involved. He's entitled. If you don't pay him, it's Gezel. Schedule, serious business. There can be problems down the line. And there are many spooky stories. Not paying shatchanis, not satisfying every single person at all in the shirk. They can hold back things. And here's an interesting story. I like the story. I saw this idea. Yeah?
If the shatchan misrepresents the product,
it depends to what degree.
Based on the
that's a problem. That's already a different story.
It could be a health.
Okay, there are. It's natural and it's expected to exaggerate a little bit. If someone presents you with a shidduch and says, she's just. If someone presents you with a shidduch and says, it's just average guy. And the truth is, he is average. He's just an average boy. And you tell this to a girl, he's an average boy. Everything about him is average. Maybe there are some things a little bit below average. It'll never happen. The way it goes is, you have to exaggerate. That is accepted. That is accepted and that is expected. So that's not called a lie. That's okay. But one other quick little thing. Here's the story. The story is there was a person that did not have children. A couple didn't have children. They went to the Shin of Rav. And the Shin of Rav asked them, did you pay rachash? You know what rachash is? Rachash. Rachash means your lips murmur. Marchesh, we're coming out to Cheshvan. This week, Shabbos Melech, Marchesh, Rachash. It's an expression. Rachash stands for Resh, Rav, Ches, Chazon. Shin is the Shatchan. When you make, that's besides the caterer. The caterer you can't get away with.
That's the mob.
They won't, the caterer is the mob. That they're not going. They'll put a lien on your house. That you don't have. That's not an issue. The three Eidel people, people who do people, who suffers? The Eidel people. the Rav. They don't pay the Rav. They don't give him. They don't give him his whatever he's supposed to get. The Chazan. In many shuls, I know in Great Neck, you make a wedding in Great Neck Synagogue, you have to use the chazan. That's part of his job.
He's built it in the thing.
You have to use him, but you have to pay him.
Right, he already paid. It's built in the thing. In many shuls, the chazan. In ancient times, that's the way it was. There is a chazan. And the chazan is an aid in the person. He doesn't come to you with a bill. It's expected you go to the chazan, you give him what is due. The Rav. The Rav is an edle person. The Rav doesn't come and say, you know, I did a service, you know, here's the bill. It's expected that you give the Rav what he deserves. The Shatran, it's not going to come to there. His money, he will use, expect that you are to give him what he deserves. So there was an expression, this is new to me, there's an expression called rachash. That when you make a simcha, don't forget to pay the rachash. Rachash stands for the Rav, the Ches is the Chazan, and the Shin is the Shatran. Today, there's no Rav anymore, there's a Rosh Hashiva, there's no Chazan anymore today. The Shatran, all the relatives among themselves, whatever it is. So this whole expression is lost from us. So he asked this couple, did you pay Rachash? And the answer, of course, was no. They didn't pay the Rachash. Then he said to them, do you know why it's called Rachash? So he said, of course we know. It's called Rachash because Rav, Chazan, Shatran. This appears to have been a very popular expression, which is totally lost from us. But it was very well known among people. Probably if we ask our grandparents, they would tell us right away, yeah, of course, Rachash. It's an expression. So he told us something very interesting. It's called Rachash, of course, because Rav, Chazan, and Shatran. But it's also called Rachash because it's Rosh Tevos, Rochel, Chana, and Sarah. Who is Rachel, Chan, and Sar coming out of Rosh Hashanah? The three Noshim that were Akoros and were Nifgidu were answered on Rosh Hashanah. So these two things go together. If you pay Rachash, then you'll be Zeichet to be Nifgidu like Rachel, Sarah, and Chana. But if you don't pay Rachash, then unfortunately that's why there's a problem with Zer Shel Kayama. So I think that's a very interesting little cute thing of Rach. Okay, so these are just some couple of things. This is Parsha. This is typical of this sefer. He takes an idea in the pasuk and he elaborates. Mari Mar Mekoymos, is Choshech an absence of, or is it a Bria? By Yiviyachal Adam, it's the first Shatran. There are many halachic nafkaminas in Shatranus, the Zman, Shatranus, and so on.